Hug Shavuot, Sameach, Saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my very best friend and partner in life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Shalom and happy Shavuot to you all. We will continue our study on Pentecost, which is this Sunday, after we first address some news, but not before honoring our Father.
Abba, Father, we do honor you and your name, for your works are awesome, and one day all the earth will worship you when the rebellious one will be no more. Until then, we will keep the faith, worry for nothing, endure afflictions, knowing that just like in the fiery furnace, you are always with us and will move the rocks to smooth our paths. We earnestly pray for all those closely affected by the school shooting in Texas. May they cling to you for comfort, knowing the children are in heaven. Lord, please bless tonight's listeners and hear their requests, especially for the salvation of all our loved ones, while there is yet time. And may your divine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Should we start out with some good news?
You know it. For many want to know the results of last week's meetings of the WHO's health treaty, where President Biden had proposed in last January 13 amendments to the already existing WHO's international health treaty. But Biden wanted to drastically increase its power and give the WHO full legal authority over all health issues for all nations. It's unbelievable how our own U.S. president is actually pushing to relinquish our sovereignty to the U.N. through the WHO. And when what they call a crisis hits, originating from anywhere, let's just say Africa, well, they would be able to legally enforce a lockdown anywhere, even worldwide.
And, you know, we would have to comply.
Or face severe consequences. Mm-hmm. But praise the Lord, there was a backlash, especially by Brazil and others, and even the UK, who actually filed legal action against 12 of the 13 proposed amendments, which, therefore, at least for now, is on hold.
But we'll revisit later.
Yes, perhaps with a few word editings, I'm sure.
So, what amendment stayed?
Well, the amendment, which is to Article 51, seeks to change the amount of time one gets to reject any amendments currently from 18 months to just 6 months. In other words, any amendment would take effect a lot sooner, which if Biden's amendments had been approved, would have gone into effect by November 1st.
Now when are the elections?
November 8th.
So Plan B is coming.
Plan B is still coming, right. They will continue, for sure, till they destroy our sovereignty. And they will.
Because the word prophesies it.
Pretty much. Like in Jeremiah 30:11, where it says that there will be a full end to all the nations where God has scattered the Jews. Anyhow, now the WHO nations have until this September to submit in writing their own proposals on just how the treaty should be amended to better respond to future pandemics, as in an altered gain-of-function monkeypox, and they'll discuss that at November's meeting.
Why do they feel any amendments are necessary?
Well, to get us closer to Marxism, on the ladder to communism. And, of course, the Marxist chief Tedros, who leads the WHO, is pushing hard for it. No surprise, and he is China's good buddy. No other way to put this, we are in a war between globalism and nationalism.
And just, lawlessness continues to abound.
And just think of Ephesians 6.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the latest Texas school shooting is just one example of how the left never lets a crisis go to waste. Very quickly, we saw it surrounded by political theater. Take the guns away from the law-abiding citizens instead of focusing on the cause.
Evil people will always find a way.
That school was a gun-free zone, and the shooter knew it. So we need more safety measures and more guns, not less.
And the war continues in Ukraine.
Indeed it does. Mostly now in the Donbas area, especially hitting their electric and running water sources. Russia has always been very determined to capture this area on Ukraine's eastern border in order to, Russia says, to liberate them from Nazi rule. And we do know that neo-Nazism does exist in Donbas.
Well, you know, it's also a very rich agricultural area.
Yes, very rich. Meanwhile, Ukraine just keeps pleading for more weapons. We have a quote from a popular globalist, George Soros, who said,
"We must mobilize all our resources to bring the war to an early end. The best and perhaps only way to preserve our civilization is to defeat Putin as soon as possible."
Because Putin is not a globalist.
Mm-hmm.
So take him out quick. So to move on, especially because Georgie is no spring chicken.
Is China next?
Well, you know, if they attack Taiwan, maybe so, in another proxy war. It's hard to say at this juncture. Hopefully, more likely during the tribulation. Anyhow, globalists want to rule over the people by whatever name you want to call it. Marxism, communism, even fascism. It's all about losing sovereignty with lots of rules.
What is fascism?
Fascism allows some private ownership, but with total government control and regulations.
Like Biden's doing to the oil market.
Yeah, really, in a way. But then Klaus Schwab says, you'll own nothing and be happy. So that describes communism, where goods are owned in common, therefore is available to all as needed, but distributed by the government.
Essentially, it's a higher and more advanced form of socialism.
Oh, definitely. But let's move on.
Okay. I understand Israel's on high alert.
Yes, they have been going back and forth with Iran, and now Iran has threatened to take out 5 very prominent figures of Israel. And even use their names. And it's as a vow of revenge for the shooting of Iran's colonel, Hassan Khodai, which the U.S. leaked to the New York Times was committed by Israel. That wasn't supposed to get out. So isn't Israel still our ally?
Well, not when Biden obviously favors Iran.
He sure does.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, over here, many air flights had to be canceled over the weekend due to weather and staffing shortages. In my mind, it's from the COVID and the COVID shots, who are affecting many with either COVID or a disease that could be from the shots as well, because the spike protein in the shots corrupt the natural immune system. And we've talked about that numerous times, and now we see it's happening.
Yeah, but you know, they never connect the dots.
As we knew they wouldn't. Or they just want to ignore them. And supplies of natural gas are still being constrained in the United States while prices keep soaring. And the possibility this summer of electrical outages is high. Power in much of the country and parts of Canada will be stretched. And consumers are expected to be asked to step up to help keep the grids stable by curtailing our own electric consumption. If you own a home, which we do not, you should consider getting a big generator.
With a good supply of gasoline.
Mm-hmm. And here's a good one from World Debt Daily, unbelievable. It said, if our schools don't allow the open-to-anyone access to showers and such, they will not qualify for the benefits of the National School Lunch Program, which feeds approximately 30 million kids every day.
So, kindergarten to 12th grade schools will have to allow boys in the girls' bathrooms and locker rooms.
Yep, if they want to continue receiving funds.
You know, that is so appalling.
Oh, it is. And lastly, as we predicted, Hillary's attorney, Sussman, was found not guilty in the Durham trial by an obvious tainted jury made up mostly by Democratic Trump haters. And that's just the plain truth.
No surprise there.
Nope.
Okay, you can send your end-time questions or comments to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office, but be sure to leave your phone number with your detailed message to 440-834-9006, and we will call you back. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And yes, we do need your help to stay on the air. Your love offerings are greatly appreciated. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our archived past radio and teaching newsletters.
And all are labeled.
Mm-hmm. All right, a short review from last week.
Okay. This Sunday, as you know, is Pentecost, or the Feast of Shavuot, the fourth fulfilled appointment out of seven that God made with man, recorded in Leviticus 23. So we have three more to go.
The Sabbath has also been fulfilled.
All right. It's our day of rest, because our day of rest is Jesus, and he resides inside of us now. Mm-hmm. All legal rules and regulations from the old covenant have also been fulfilled, and freedom now belongs to his bride. So never allow any legalistic person to tell you that you must do this or you must do that to please God. Christians have been set free, and your sin debt is paid in full.
Yeah, now it's all about love.
Mm-hmm. And when you love someone as your betrothal, you want to get as close as you can and to know as much as you can about that person, your soon-wedded husband.
And the only way to get really close is to study his instruction manual.
That's why he gave it to us, so we could abide in him.
John 8.
So the last three appointments will be fulfilled in some fall season when the harvest is complete and gathered in.
Matthew 13 and James 5.
So historically, the first Pentecost, referred to as the Feast of Weeks in Exodus 34, took place when the Hebrews reached Mount Sinai 50 days after fleeing through the Red Sea. Here is when God gave them their law to follow, which was also their betrothal covenant agreement.
To which they all replied, "We do." Exodus 19:8.
And it's also the first time a shofar was blown, and it was recorded in Scripture, so it took on the common idiomatic phrase of the first shofar.
Yes, the last shofar right. is blown on Rosh Hashanah.
That's right, which is the anniversary of the creation of the world, but more specifically, the day Adam was created. And Paul tells us it will be the future rapture.
1 Corinthians 15:51.
But we don't know what day or hour, since it's a two-day celebration, and we don't even know for sure what year.
Because many of the signs, we know it is very near.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And then there's one more, the great shofar. And that's an idiom for Yom Kippur, and would be blown when Jesus returns at the end of the tribulation.
So, obviously, on a Yom Kippur.
Yes, easy to figure out. Matthew 24:31. This is when the elect, which are the tribulation saints then, and the 144,000 Messianic Jews, are gathered in along with the return-to-earth bride, now called his wife, in Revelation 19:7. And we go into the Messianic kingdom.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So in the Old Testament, Passover was a type of their sins being paid for by the sacrificed sinless lamb, with the Genesis 3 promise of a future coming Messiah. Then, as recorded in the New Testament, Jesus fulfilled Passover, where sins were all paid for with the Messiah's crucifixion, which is why they could now eat leavened bread at Pentecost.
And they made two loaves.
Right, as commanded in Leviticus 23:17, one for the Jews and one for the Gentiles, because both are covered under the blood of Christ's sacrifice.
Yes, he died for the whole world.
Yep, it's all done for anyone who wants it, of course.
You know, it's hard to imagine why so many don't.
I know, but the road is narrow and few will find it, because they refuse to look at the evidence.
Well, they'd rather listen to the unrighteous.
Yep, that's the bottom line. Okay, so this week we want to look at some amazing typology that few students give much thought to, and that is some obvious patterns that occurred during those 50 days after the Hebrews left Egypt, but before arriving at the mountain.
So, between Passover and the first Pentecost.
Right, but again, it's seldom talked about. You know, some years ago, out of sheer curiosity, I carefully studied the passages in Exodus after the Red Sea crossing, when the Hebrews received the bread.
The manna from heaven.
Mm-hmm, Exodus 16. And it tasted like honey. Well, we read in Luke 24, verse 30, that Jesus, after his resurrection, also gave bread to the men he met on the road to Emmaus.
It's a great typology right there.
And there's more. The next day, before the Hebrews got to Mount Sinai in Exodus 17, they were told about the rock that would give them their water of life.
Well, you know, that's another picture of Jesus.
Right. And when Jesus was at the mouth of the Jordan River in Matthew 16, after Peter pronounced that Jesus was the Christ, meaning Messiah, Jesus then said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And he often said he was the water of life, like Paul said about the Hebrews in 1 Corinthians 10:4.
And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ.
And then, and I really love this picture, likely on day 40 after the Red Sea, Moses led his men in the fight against the Amalekites. Remember when Moses held up his arms, they would be winning the fight, but when his arms went down, they would be losing?
So Aaron held up Moses' arms for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, that lifting up of one's hands is forming God's initial, called the Sheen in Hebrew, has the SH sound, and is the first letter in Shaddai.
Looks like a W in English.
Mm-hmm. And Shaddai means Almighty. So in actuality, God won the battle against the evil giants, the descendants of the Nephilim.
So, how does this connect with Jesus?
Well, in Luke 24:50, on the 40th day from his resurrection.
So at his ascension.
Mm-hmm, Jesus, a picture of Moses, also raised up his hands, making a sheen as he ascended into heaven, as he blessed the people.
You know, that's a great typology.
Also, Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 17, adds that in his name, we would have power over demons.
So, by raising up our hands, we are displaying the name of God.
Yes, which is why in 1 Timothy 2, Paul commands all to lift up holy hands. Moses lifted up his arms to defeat the demonic enemies, and Jesus also lifted up his arms on the same anniversary date, giving us the Great Commission and to use the name to fight our enemy. In the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the letter Sheen, again, looks like our W, represents God's name Shaddai, meaning Almighty, is also embedded into the landscape of Jerusalem by the three major valleys.
Yeah, the picture, it's on our website.
It is. And now you really understand why God told the Hebrews to make sacrifices in the place where, he says, I have chosen to put my name.
1 Kings 11:36 and Deuteronomy 16:2.
When you know a little roots, it really helps understand these verses. So again, on the first Pentecost, the Hebrews received their Torah. And in Acts chapter 2, also on Pentecost, Jesus sent his Holy Spirit so we could better understand the Torah and see how Jesus fulfilled the entire law. And our New Testament, along with dunamis power over our enemy.
We really do have power over the devil.
Right. Just use it. Mm-hmm. Hello. Also, according to Deuteronomy 6, verse 8, and other places, God told the Jews to bind his words on their forehead and hand to openly show their love for God. So, they placed a small box on their head and arm and bound it with leather straps and it's called tefillin or phylacteries. And what is interesting is that they arranged the straps in three lines on their hand that looks like a W. But of course, it's their Hebrew letter Sheen. And of course, it's a symbol of his name on their hand and in their head with the scriptures, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. And that was in each box. Should look that up. It's a very good scripture, and you should memorize it. So again, one on the head and one on the arm leading to the hand. So, of course, since Satan is a counterfeiter, this is probably why he will have his mark on either the hand or the forehead of his followers. Also, write these scriptures down and please read them this week. Ezekiel 9, verse 4. Revelation 7, verse 3, and Revelation 13, verse 16. It talks about, even in the Old Testament, how they had a mark. I think you'll like the Ezekiel 9 one. Okay, but we must move on. Now let's go ahead and get to the 20th century. Pentecost also marks the anniversary of the end of the five-day war, when God won Jerusalem back from their enemy for the Jews, another type of the army of Moses. Victory over the Amalekites in the same time frame many centuries before.
Yeah, and that was a six-day war, and it's simply amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and this is really cool. The divided tongues of fire in Acts chapter 2 that landed on the believers. Well, I saw a picture of that, and yes, it looks just like a sheen. You see, God placed his initial on them as his seal of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And one last nugget. The Jewish people read the Torah more intensely during Pentecost because it commemorates them receiving the law of instructions. But another tradition which began later is the reading of the Scroll of Ruth. Why, you might ask? Well, besides the fact that she was David's great-grandmother, it tells the story of a Gentile Ruth falling in love with Israel and the people who marries the Jewish man, Boaz. To us, that's a picture of our marriage to the Jewish Jesus. They're Ruth's kinsman redeemer and our kinsman redeemer. And Boaz redeemed back the land to her Jewish mother-in-law, just like Jesus will soon do as well. It's so cool. And anyway, if you want a complete five-part study on the book of Ruth, it is archived on our radio program on the webpage beginning in May of 2014. So the book of Ruth is a great typology of how the church is to feel about Israel too, to embrace and love her like Ruth did. That is, if we truly love Jesus. For now we are no longer just a Gentile, but a born-again believer with a new name called Christian. And one day, all Israel will be saved and enter into Christ's literal kingdom right here on earth. Read Romans 11:26 and Galatians 3:28. So, this week, read the book of Ruth as a family. You'll be very blessed. And if you don't know Jesus, don't wait any longer. It's time. He's coming soon. The Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you that lasting peace, that beautiful shalom. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Psalm 122, verse 6. And by the way, when it says lift up his countenance upon you, countenance means an expression of approval. Shalom, till next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.